It's the Lost Years Pod. Lost Years Pod. Running through this show called Boy Meets World is what we're doing. Sid and Tay are your friends who will always stand by you. It's the Lost Years Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Lost Years, a retrospective fan cast. I'm Tay.
I'm Sid.
And this is the season premiere of season 6.
Picture this. You're sitting at home on Friday night. And before this season premieres, you're watching the ABC TGIF premiere party in September of 1998, where various cast members of the TGIF shows all gathered to celebrate their shows and also a concert from NSYNC. Because this is a real thing that happened.
Oh my God.
And I'm going to send you a clip of this day so you can even see what I'm talking about. And I will tweet this along with it. But this is crazy when I found this out. Because I missed stuff like this.
How did you find this out?
I wish that we had stuff like this. This was just on the IMDb notes. It said it's part of this connection of all of the TGIF premieres. And they used to have these things every year. And I've only just discovered this.
Wow.
So I shared this with you, but it's crazy because it literally is the cast of Boy Meets World. And at the time, it was like Mary-Kate and Ashley and their two-of-a-kind show. There were a couple other shows, Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah.
It was just all of the TGIF shows were brought together and would just hang out with each other. And
that's
also
amazing.
A crowd. In this case, also NSYNC.
Do you know what that makes me think of is the premiere nights, like the big High School Musical, honestly, High School Musical 2
yes.
is the big one that I thought of, where they all gathered up to like watch, quote unquote, watch the movie together.
Yes. I miss those days so much because cable, you know, people don't have cable anymore. They don't really do these types of things to the extent that they did back in the past. And it's very nostalgic. Like we were just watching this, watching everybody be together and just get so excited about TV on a Friday night of all things is insane to me.
That's so fun. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, just kick things off a little differently.
Yeah.
And it's not my nostalgia.
It's just general nostalgia. Love that. What are you nostalgic for this week?
The dollar menus of fast food restaurants.
God bless. And you're correct.
Yeah.
Because I found out, I don't eat Subway, but I found out that now it's a $6, like six inches for $6 or something.
Which is insanity. I grew up on the $5 footlong,
it's
baby.
It's half the sandwich for a dollar more. That's insane.
Yeah.
The only reason anyone should be eating Subway is because of the $5 footlong. And now
they don't
it's
even
gone.
Have it.
And it's more for less.
Yes.
Insane. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't eat at McDonald's anymore, but, you know, that dollar menu was definitely something.
Yeah.
And places like Taco Bell and I guess Wendy's still kind of does a pretty good job with it in some cases. Like
yeah,
I get
the four
I've gotten
four.
Their biggie bag that's $5 and it comes with everything that you would want in a meal.
The $5 biggie meal.
Yeah. It's just the dollar menus were so special and there's such a time that I miss.
Truly.
I want to get just a cheap little burger for a dollar. Like, what do you mean?
I mean, that's what fast food
was supposed
was.
To be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it was cheap and fast food. And now it's just like not, it's really not affordable anymore in the same way. Like, if I'm going to be spending $20 on a meal, I might as well go somewhere decent.
Yeah.
And like have a real meal.
Heck, like my groceries are, can sometimes be the cost of like a fast food meal or two, just given their prices. It's
groceries
insane.
Groceries make me so sad right now because it's like absolutely atrocious how expensive groceries are.
Yeah. I love where we're at and
I love it.
I'm so excited.
I love the economy and that seven people just keep getting richer and richer.
It's so great for everybody.
I think so. I think it's the best it could possibly be and that I have no notes and don't want anything to change.
Anyway, I want an ice cream cone for a dollar again, please.
I want anything for a dollar.
I would do anything.
Nothing costs a dollar anymore.
I would do anything for $5 to mean something to me.
It's so sad.
So that's my fun nostalgia. What are you nostalgic for?
A similar thing in that it's food. Awesome. Kind of late night meal in college.
Okay. I literally night was meal like,
I don't know how to describe at in college. No. it was called late night. It was called late night. It's basically fourth meal. Okay. Read like Taco Bell, but like yes. In college, our diner, our dining hall was like open, from 8 p.m. to midnight. Mm-hmm. And it was just fourth meal and we would go. And it was a thing where like the whole caf wouldn't be open, but like you could get cereal and then some stuff open at the, like the grill would be open. And I made friends with a couple of the caf workers. Sweet human beings. And so then one of them would always make me a patty melt.
That's nice.
Which is not a thing. We could get cheeseburgers, we could get grilled cheese, mm-hmm. but he would make me patty melts.
And I love that.
That was beautiful and wonderful for me. And I just miss that, like, first of all, I miss having all of my meals taken care of every day.
Yeah.
And not having to think about what I'm going to eat. Just going to the cafeteria and being like, what's on the menu? Excellent. And now I have dinner. And now I can leave. And I don't have to think about this with my brain at all.
Yeah.
And then fourth meal, late night is what we called it, we would just go and we would sit there for a couple of hours. I remember there was like a couple of times we went where we just sat there for the entirety of late night. Like we went almost at opening and we stayed there until midnight because we were just talking and hanging out. And I just miss that like energy and also just having a nice bowl of cereal with your friends and laughing at jokes and... you know, simpler times.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's very nice. We didn't have our dining halls. We only had a couple of them on my campus, but we also had the Klets, which was basically like a separate grill. They did honor some dining plans, but it wasn't like a full dining hall. It was just sort of a grab and go and also a kitchen, like a grill kitchen. And same thing. They were pretty much open all day, but the best time to go was the evening because they were one of the only things that was actually open on campus for food, and they had the best grilled cheese and the best cheese fries. It was just all of the fried goodness that I wanted as a college student, especially at like 11 p.m. They had a bunch of like tables and booths and similar concepts, and everybody just liked going to the Klets so much. And it was like right in the middle of campus, and it was so fun. I miss that.
The best part about our dining room was our building was like the newest one on campus. So we had a dining room attached to our building, whereas like we were on South Campus, all of the ones on East Campus, you had to like walk across the quad basically to get to the dining halls and stuff.
Yeah.
Or walk like very far along, like the buildings were connected, but you would be walking for like a really long time if you did it that way. And so it was just really nice. We could just like, we didn't even have to go outside. We could just go down across the entrance to the dining hall, and it was so fun. And I just miss college, I think. I miss the simplicity. Life was so simple then.
It is really interesting because when you're in college, like obviously it feels like a big step because you go from high school and just anything in your former life, and all of a sudden it's all new and everything. But you appreciate it to some extent. But when you're gone, it's just so nice to think back on that time because it's like, man, I do truly miss having all my friends walking distance. I do miss having everything I need just in one area. Like,
yeah, we just miss community and walkable cities. But
also food being taken care of for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hate cooking.
Give me dollar menu.
Give me free/cheap food and zero thought. And I would be really, I think that would take care of probably 35, 40% of my problems. And money would take care of the rest of it.
The other 60%?
Yeah.
Money, please.
Truly. Money, please. Anyway, do you want to get into it?
Yeah, on this fun note.
It's been just kind of a sad, depressing beginning to this podcast, but it's fine. It's gonna pick up. We're gonna have fun.
I promise you, it's a good one. Anyway, season 6, episode 1 is titled His Answer. The episode aired on September 25th, 1998. It was directed by Jeff McCracken and was written by Bob Tischler. The synopsis is Corey and Topanga slip away to make their decision about marriage.
Ooh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That is an excellent synopsis.
I know. I didn't give too much away.
Yeah.
It didn't just run on as a sentence.
It's perfect. It's perfect. Okay, so before the episode starts, we get a previously and absolutely unbelievably on Boy Meets World, and we see a
really
recap,
funny, so if I'm good. Being honest.
We see a recap of the last few episodes, including the baby announcement, Feeny's retiring, and then Topanga asking Corey to marry her. And we open up on post-graduation. Corey and Topanga are still sitting on the bleachers with Corey just looking stunned. Topanga says, Corey? And he goes, did I just ask you to marry me? She smiles, I asked you. And he stutters, but I always thought I'd be the one to propose. She says, well, I beat you to it. But Corey, if you want to be the one, he cuts her off. No. This is the 90s. What's done is done. So, okay, you proposed. Hey, we better get to that graduation party. He starts to get up, but she pulls him back down. I'd like an answer, Corey. And he says, and I'm going to give it to you. But, you know, Topanga, it's not every day that a guy gets asked a question like that. And it's not every day that I can give. She cuts him off, grabbing his face and kissing him passionately. He kisses her back. Their theme music plays. And when they pull away, he says, so you got a ring for me or what? And them smiling at each other is how we end this first scene.
They're adorable.
They're so cute.
Yeah, obviously breaking the society norms here with Topanga asking and not Corey. They even obviously make the joke that it's the 90s. It's a different time. but I love what I love about this. And, you know, Corey's obviously just stunned a little bit.
Yeah.
But when you're so certain that you're going to do it, and maybe even like when you're going to do it, that can be so jarring. And he played that really, really well, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be such a curveball. Like, imagine he has a plan just down the road of how he's going to do this. And then all of a sudden it's at graduation and it's like, now time for other big life decision. But it's cute. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like them.
It's like deeply radical for her to have been the one to propose in 98.
Yeah.
That's like so wild and fun. And I love that like twist, especially given what she's been wrestling with as far as like going to Yale and not going to Yale. And I just think it's really fun and really lovely. And I'm so excited for season 6. I'm so excited.
I really love too. There's a point where she said, where Corey is trying to go away and she says, Corey, I want an answer. And I was thinking, you've been sitting on the bench for how long?
Yeah.
I feel like that's
gone.
A little bit of an answer. He's not really said anything. Like they're kind of just sitting there in quiet. Everybody's left. Like
she's exceedingly patient if she hasn't gotten an answer by this point because the room is like dark. Like
they're clearly trying to shut this place down.
Yeah.
And they're just still sitting on the bleachers. And also, no one's done anything. Like, the parents haven't been
like,
around.
Hey,
they're all
right.
Just sitting there.
It's very strange. And also, you definitely, like, as a graduating class, walk out together. So there's no reason they should still be sitting there. But it is fun and silly.
What a moment, though, too. Imagine, you know, the time of graduation where everybody throws their caps and stuff. And, like, they didn't even get to do that. Because Corey's just sitting there like, what do you mean?
Sitting there stunned.
But yeah, they're really cute.
Okay, so the next scene, we are in the senior hallway, I think, for the last time. I'm pretty sure this is the last time we see this hallway.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know if I've just never noticed the floor. It seemed like the floor had carpet. And I'm like thinking, I don't think it ever had carpet.
Huh. I've never thought about the floor a single time.
Yeah, I hadn't either. And so when I kind of saw it, I couldn't tell if it was just my eyes being weird or like maybe it was the set.
I'm going to have to rewatch.
Yeah, me too.
How very interesting.
Because I don't know what it could be, if it's anything. But if it's like the last time that they're using a set and they're stripping stuff, I think that that's funny.
Probably, yeah. Or they're like mid repurposing it for a different scene.
And they're like, nobody's going to catch the floor.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, why would they?
Who's paying attention to the floor? The kids are right here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we're in the senior hallway. Corey and Topanga are walking. He says, listen, I want to be with you more than anything in the world, okay? But I cannot let you give up Yale for me. She asks, do you honestly want me to go to Yale? And he admits, no. And she says, then shut up about it. Pembroke is a great school. I'm going to get a great education. Besides, what good is college without this face? She takes his face in her hands. And through squished cheeks, he says, it's no good. It's no good at all. She lets go and asks, so when do you want to do it? And he says, do what? And she replies, get married, Corey. He says, Topanga, I don't know. I haven't even had time to think. She cuts him off. How about right away? He's like, right away when? She says, Corey, we've been dating each other since we were two. We've both had a chance to be with other people. He jokes, yeah, I wonder what she's doing. She hits him, giving him a little warning look, and then asks, do you think we'll be together for the rest of our lives? And he says, yeah, I know we will. She agrees, so do I. We're not like other people, Corey. We're weird. Let's just do it. Plus, I want to have time for our honeymoon before college starts. He says, a honeymoon, huh? And on this honeymoon, you and I, we'd probably, she cuts him off, oh, there's a good chance, yeah. He says, a good chance. Keep talking. She says, let's go tell your parents. He's like, no. And she looks confused and he says, I don't think we should tell my parents. They're going through a lot right now with the baby coming and everything. And I don't know if they'd understand. In fact, they're incapable of understanding. I don't think we should tell anyone. She just looks at him and he finishes, you know, until we figure out what we're going to do. She asks, Corey, you do want to marry me, don't you? And he says, yeah, I don't want everyone sticking their noses in our business. I mean, this is our lives. This is for us to decide. Okay, promise you won't tell a soul. She says, okay, I promise. I kind of like it. It's very Romeo and Juliet. He laughs. That's why we're not telling anyone. Whatever you need. She asks, so are we engaged or what? And he says, yeah, if you don't open your big mouth. And she's like, oh, you. And they kiss and hug as Feeny walks up. Congratulations, you two. Corey in the hug says, oh my God, he knows. And Topanga says, Corey, Mr. Feeny is congratulating us on graduating. So why don't you thank him? Feeny asks, is there something else? Corey breaks the hug. Nothing. Get off my back. Feeny is confused. Whatever you say. And Corey's like, oh, you're a smug one, aren't you, George? Huh? You know. I know you know. I don't know how you know, but I know that you know. Feeny's like, all right, I know. I know everything. Now, what in the world are you talking about? Corey yells, nothing. This gets out, I'll hunt you down like a dog. He pulls Topanga away as she giggles, and Feeny, confused, watching them go, is how we end the scene.
That's very fun. I like that in their eyes, just in the eyes of the kids, Feeny just knows everything.
I mean, yeah. And, like
how,
and he does.
How would he? How but would it's he? Very
but
funny.
But also, if he did, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. But yeah, I like at the beginning of the scene, her finally asking the real question of, did you really want me to go? Mm. And Corey actually admitting, I don't want you to go. Just growth. We love that.
Yeah.
Anytime. This is, again, another instance. I know that they've been friends since they were two, but it's so funny to me whenever they're like, we've been dating since we're two. Like, I know what they mean.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys, stop. I know when you met and like got back together. Or like when you actually decided to date, it took a while. It was not when you were two. When Topanga also says the line about not being like other couples, like we're weird. I thought about that one meme of the girl that's in the freezer section of a store that just has like the bag of potato chips balanced on her head. And it's like, she's so crazy. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Please just type in the she's so crazy, love her meme, Google or something.
Okay.
Because that's all I could throw out multiple times in this episode. When people say that they're a weird couple, I always think of this.
Oh.
You've never seen that?
I've never seen this.
Holy moly.
But knowyourmeme.com has got my back.
She's so crazy. I thought about it recently because someone in a recent Taylor Swift song, when she talks about being weird or whatever, like someone put that and was like, she's so crazy. Love her.
Love her. Wait, this is a fun meme because then people just do it for like other things that are actually crazy or normal.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
But anyway, I did think about that because, you know, they are a strange couple, but at the same time, I'm like, you're one of the most normal couples also.
Like, they're just like fine. Deeply traditional. It is weird to be like, we're going to get married. Not a lot of people get married out of high school.
Yeah. No, that's true. Because even when they're talking about their honeymoon and it's basically implying it's going to be the first time that they're actually doing stuff. I was thinking, I thought couples in Christian college that I went to were nuts for like, you know, getting engaged so soon and, you know, not really getting to that point. And I was thinking, man, they're in high school and they're doing it. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. But yeah, Corey wanting to be secretive about it can only go so well.
Yeah.
And that's the last bit.
He's simply never been good at keeping secrets.
No. Feeny just came up to say congrats about graduating because that is what they did. And he's like, you'll never know. Like, you can't tell anybody.
I'll hunt you down like a dog. Okay, so the next scene. We are at the apartment. There's a knock on the door and Sean answers it to a beaming Corey who says, how you doing? He just replies, Topanga asked you to marry her. Corey's face falls. I hate you. Cut to Topanga at Angela's house, the latter of which is saying, you guys are so weird. Topanga says, I know, but I love him and I want to be with him till he dies. But you can't tell anyone, not even Sean. Cut back to the apartment with Corey asking, Feeny told you, didn't he? I'm going to find him and rip him apart. And Sean's like, I was sitting right next to you, you dope. I heard everything. Cut back to Angela asking, that's why you look so scared. Topanga says, I don't think he was scared. I just think he was a little flustered. Cut back to Corey saying, I was a little flustered. That's all. Sean says, you look like somebody shot you in the head. But hey, I don't blame you. If Angela asked me that in the middle of my graduation, I'd wet my gown too. Corey looks down at his pants. Cut back to Angela saying, girl, at our age, we are supposed to be having fun, not getting married. What idiot doesn't know that? Cut back to Sean saying, marry her. And Corey's like, what? Sean says, I think you should marry her. Corey's like, that's not what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to say that you think we're crazy. Sean rebuts, well, you're crazy if you think you haven't been married to her your entire life. You might as well get presents. Corey thinks, well, I do need a new toaster. But no, rushing into marriage right now is way too overwhelming. What with high school ending, college starting, Sean finishes, and you're scared to tell your parents. Corey says, well, I see no reason why they ever have to know. They start to leave the apartment, and Sean says, well, if we're done talking about you, I've got some news. Corey's like, we're not done talking about me. How selfish are you? Sean says, Corey, I think I'm going to take some courses at Pembroke. Corey says, good, have a nice day, and starts to walk away. And Sean adds, which means that I'm going to be living in a dorm. So if you're not ready to have Topanga as a roommate, the elevator door opens as Corey says, wait, you and me together? That's two proposals in the same day, Sean. I must be the luckiest boy in the world. At this last bit, we see Eric and Jack lean out of the elevator and look at each other. Corey finishes, well, Shawnee, I'm glad you decided to go to college, bud. He hugs Sean, who thanks him, and Eric and Jack's about the elevator with the latter asking what he's talking about. Sean tells him he's going to take some college courses. I love my job, but there's more to life than photographing naked ladies. Jack congratulates and hugs him, and Eric says, there's no more to life than naked ladies, except maybe naked ladies that wear really tight shirts and really tight pants. Jack says to Sean, look, I'm proud of you. Then to Eric, problem with you is you don't know how to be supportive, okay? I want you to be supportive. Eric says, sorry, I'll try. And Corey says, you know what this means? Sean and I are going to be roommates. Jack's like, what? Eric says, I support that. And Jack looks at him and says, unbelievable. And Eric says, again, I support that. And Jack goes, I don't believe you, meaning I can't believe you're doing this, not I don't believe you're being supportive. So Eric falls to his knees and yells, I'm so proud of you, hugging Sean's legs. Jack says, confused, yeah, that's great. Good job. Eric gets up happily and Jack finishes, please don't move out. Sean says, hey, school doesn't start for 2 more months. Corey adds, you guys should have plenty of time to find a new roommate. They get in the elevator as Eric yells, cannot be done. Jack adds, we are very particular. Eric says, we got strict requirements. The elevator closes and down in 3B... Mm-hmm. Remember 3B? It's back. We see a tall redhead opening the door carrying suitcases. She yells, I give up scholarship to Yale to move to Philadelphia with you, and you tell me you're going to Corpus Christi to find yourself? You know what? She holds up a framed photo and finishes, find this, and chucks it, presumably, at the unheard man. She slams the door, and as she gathers her things, Eric says, she pretty. Jack replies, that's a whole lot of woman. She approaches them and says, find this. God, that doesn't even make any sense, does it? She puts her stuff down as Eric says, I think you did a wonderful job and I support you. She says, you know, I really thought that we loved each other and now I have no place to stay. I don't know what I'm going to do. Eric laughs, oh man, I don't envy you. But we get a flip transition to Sean getting off the elevator and seeing all his stuff being thrown out in the hallway. He walks into the apartment asking what's up, and Jack says, oh yeah, we found a new roommate. Eric says, get out. Here, I'll help. Sean's like, school doesn't start for 2 months. Jack says, well, the funny thing is, we found someone who meets every one of our strict requirements. Sean says, I'm going to have to tell this guy that he can't move in here till I'm good and ready to move out. Rachel then comes out from the back in a silky blue robe, asking if they have any toothpaste she can borrow. The boys look at her, then back at Sean, who, after seeing her, says, let me help you here. And they're like, yeah. And he starts throwing his own stuff out, and the boys continue to toss what they have. Then when they've tossed everything, he's like, well, and we cut back out to the hallway with them throwing him out to land on his stuff. It's a very good visual gag. And that is the end of the scene.
That's exactly what I wrote. It's a wonderful visual gag. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, jumping back to the beginning, Sean obviously overheard this at graduation. I think it's funny and like true that Angela wouldn't have heard that because she's two down and not right next to Corey. But I love that Topanga is just telling her immediately.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Best friend. Like, everyone in this scene is best friends with each other. You're gonna tell your best friend the craziest thing that's ever happened to you.
Yes, of course. And I really just love their friendships. And I love, again, whenever we get to see Topanga and Angela actually hanging out and being best friends, because they, I feel like at this point, it's like established that they're best friends, but we have barely seen them hanging out as much as Corey and Sean. Obviously, they're the main two, but I'm like, I want more of that girl friendship. I know. And I feel like it's coming. The fact that they started out season six with a scene with the two of them, I want more of it. Yeah. And I do really appreciate these opposite reactions to the news, even to the point that, you know, Corpanga, they each have like their sides and what they think, but they're also just being told what they don't want to hear, which I think is really interesting because that's also how life is.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I don't know. It's very fun to see. I do appreciate the fact that Sean is going to college.
Yeah. And
I feel it felt so swept under the rug by Corey, who in two episodes ago was losing his mind about the fact that Sean was not going to school.
Yeah.
And he just said, I'm going to go to college. And he's like, all right, sounds good. Just like starts to leave.
Good. Have a nice day.
But I am just, I am so unbelievably proud of him.
Yeah.
He's just, he's great.
It's nice that he made the decision. I am sad that we didn't get any real thought behind why he made that decision. Because like I said, I was like, I don't remember why he goes, he decides to go to college, but I know that he's there with them. And it's literally just like, there's more to life than photographing naked ladies. And I'm like, okay, but that's always been the case. So what made you decide that now? I wish they had delved a little bit more into it besides just being like, him just being like, I've decided to take some courses. Like, okay, but why?
Yeah, I wish they would have shown it at the same time. I feel like part of it happened in the last episode without really telling us, because Sean was realizing that he could have done more and he could have, like, school was his safety. And so it's like, oh, I am going to go to college because that's pretty much the next step. And I know, like, all of my friends are going to be there and that's I could do more.
That's a phenomenal take. And now I'm okay with it.
Like, it would have been cool for them to be like, well, Sean's actually wrestling with it. But it's like, yeah, he had the last time to be like, you know, I do like this and I would like to be better. And I know I can because I even got into college in the first place.
Yeah. Wow.
Look at that.
I love that. That's great.
Little analysis.
I think that's beautiful.
What I love is also when Eric and Jack are in the scene, when they first get to the scene. Just there's one moment at the beginning kind of that where Eric says something and I can't remember what it is, but to the point that like Corey just looks disgusted in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And I just have that note written down. Like, I didn't look at any of the others, but I'm just watching Ben looking at Will and it is so funny.
He's shocked and disgusted. Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it is too, but I know that moment that you're talking about.
It's just very good. Yeah. And I was wondering when Rachel was going to come in, and it makes sense that it is now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just a character that I knew existed that I didn't know when she appeared. Similar to when Trina came in as Angela, like, it's just fun to see them be like, oh yeah, you're the other one.
Yeah.
And damn, she is tall.
She's so tall. She's like 6 feet tall. I am realizing we don't actually hear her name.
Like, ever?
In this scene.
Oh, yeah, no, we don't.
And then I wrote down Rachel because I know that she's Rachel.
It's context.
And yeah, and you also know that she's Rachel. That's very funny.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. I was just like, Rachel comes off of the back because that's what she is. Because I just say like tall redhead and then I'm like, she does this, she does that.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I think it helps.
Yeah.
Give him a name.
I mean, her name's Rachel. Beginning.
Yeah, it is so, Rachel.
And we find that out pretty quickly, but
what I do love also just with the apartment when it flips to them tossing his stuff is the fact that Sean immediately understands and dips out on behalf of the guys. I don't know where he's going. He doesn't know where he's going, but he's just
gonna say, because I have no idea. I don't know where he's saying.
But he just salutes it off pretty much and is like, yeah, you got it. I got you.
I'm also gonna throw my stuff out into the hallway.
But yeah, throwing Sean was so funny because they just have this pile of stuff and then he just, all right, now you're gone.
Yeah, officially. Eric like grabs him by the collar and like the back of the pants. And
which,
then
knowing their friendship
throwing
outside of Boy Meets World, I bet was really just fun for them to do. I appreciate it.
It reminds me of all the times in Fresh Prince where Uncle Phil throws out jazz. It's the exact same like vibe of gag.
I love that show.
It's very good.
So much. I don't know why, but Fresh Prince of Bel-Air bloopers just appear on my feed all the time now.
Oh,
I don't
excellent.
Know what I liked. I don't know.
Please send them to me when you get them because I love that.
Oh my gosh, there's one of Carlton that's just, he's in the kitchen and he's saying something extremely fast and Will is just dying in the background, and like every time now they just break when they try to start it because he's like just going off like that. I don't know why that keeps popping up and I'm like, what did I do? What thing did I like?
I love the one where it's like a combination of like breaking the fourth wall and also like,
so when he runs?
Yeah, the one where he's running through all of the scenes.
Just all of the sets and yelling.
And
like,
then at
no,
the
no,
end,
no,
it's
no.
like it's like a celebration. It's like a birthday party for him or something. And he like runs into Will's arms and they have this hug. It's so cute. I love that scene so much. Goodness. It's very silly. That was such a great show.
Yeah.
I feel like that one's also like 7 seasons.
It seems about right. I feel like a lot of these, not necessarily TGIF shows, but in that way. All
yeah,
those
like 90s sitcoms.
Classic 90s sitcoms getting like 7, 8, 9 seasons.
it feels like a good number.
You hear that, Netflix?
Yeah, fucking Netflix. Jesus Christ. Or WB or literally any.
Give me shows.
It's fine. It's fine. We just can't. We can't. We can't.
We already got so down at the beginning about like being weird. We can't get back into that.
Oh my God. There's so many things to be sad about, you guys.
But also happy.
Which,
like
sure.
Boy Meets World.
Yeah. And speaking of, we get back into it. The Matthews backyard. The core four are walking up to the house. It's seemingly a different day. Corey opens the door for Sean and Angela and then pulls Topanga aside, asking if she told Angela anything. She says, I would never. Why? And he says, she's shooting me nasty looks at dinner. I almost didn't enjoy my pudding. She asks if he said anything to Sean. I think he's been winking at me. Corey goes, ah, I would never. Hey, I know how to keep a secret. Now remember, my parents are in there, so just act natural. They walk into the house and Alan says, Corey, Sean just told us the big news. Why didn't you say anything? Corey yells at Sean, you told them? And Topanga says, you told Sean? And Corey's like, oh, of course I told Sean. But they look at her. They look at his parents and he asks, aren't you angry? Alan's like, well, you guys have been together forever. Why would I be angry? Corey says, whoo, and puts an arm around Topanga. Talk about a load off my mind, huh? Alan says, yeah, I think you and Sean will be very happy together as roommates. Topanga's like, you and Sean, what about us? Amy's like, Topanga, I don't think the school would allow you and Corey to be roommates unless you were married. They laugh and Corey whispers to Sean, here's where I'm dead. Topanga says to him, I thought we were going to decide this together. And Corey says, well, I was going to discuss it. Angela says to Sean, hey, you knew about it too? And Corey says to Topanga, you told Angela? She rebuts, you told Sean. And Angela asks Sean why he didn't tell her. And he's like, you didn't tell me. Eric then bursts in and says, hey, everybody, got this new roommate. She is fine.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. I definitely spit on my keyboard. Alan stands. All right. I'd kind of like to know what's going on now. He looks at Eric and they give each other a sort of like, hey, nod. It's very weird. And Corey says, okay, Dad, see, Topanga and I are, you know, it's actually kind of amusing if you think about it. See, what's going to happen is Topanga steps up. Corey and I are getting married. Alan says, are you out of your minds? Amy just goes, why? And Sean says, because they love each other. Angela says, no, that is not a reason. They are too young. Alan says, you can't even clean up your room. Corey's like, I'm going to get to it. Amy stands, you'll wait until you finish college. Alan agrees, of course they'll wait. Sean says, they haven't decided anything yet. Alan asks, whose idiot idea was this? Corey jumps in, mine. It was my idiot idea. It's my idiot life. And I have the right to decide if I want to be a married idiot. Topanga says, I asked Corey to marry me. And he adds, please don't yell at my fiance. Amy's like, Topanga, I thought you had more sense. Morgan says, I asked Bobby Poplowski to marry me. Then he kicked me. Amy says, have you thought of the responsibilities you're going to have? Angela says, no, they haven't. They haven't thought of anything. And Sean's like, okay, Angela, let's just stay out of this. Sort of pulling her aside. Angela's like, no, these are our friends. How can you just let them ruin their lives? Sean says, they're not like us. They're hopelessly in love. The audience oohs as he thinks about this, then turns back to her and says, and so are we. So are we. Amy says, we have paid for your food, your clothes, your phone, your car insurance. Alan asks, you think you can handle all of that? And Corey says, you know what? You two got married when you were my age, all right? Alan yells, I was a dope. Amy stiffens looking at him and he whips his head back and forth looking at her and them and stutters, I take that back. What I mean, what I'm trying to say is, think of all the things in life you'll be missing out on. Corey says, Dad, Topanga and I, Alan says, no. You think you know what you want for your life, huh? You think you've got it all figured out. Well, things don't always turn out the way you planned. So if you're going to do this, you better prepare to make sacrifices. Amy crosses her arms. What sacrifices did you make, Alan? He turns to her, what? And Angela says, what do you mean we're not hopelessly in love? Sean turns to her and goes, what? And both the couples start arguing. And Corey and Topanga leave out the back. They go out to the backyard and she says, well, they're taking it better than I thought. He says, it isn't for them to decide. Okay, this is our lives, Topanga. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. She nods and he says, come on, we're getting married. She lights up and they leave the backyard together. And that is the end of the scene.
Woo-hoo.
I love this scene.
It's such a good scene all around. Everybody in it, everything's fun. Morgan's line even makes like no sense. It's just kind of fun to be in
there.
It's just
like a light moment in the rest of the scene. That's very funny.
They all just stare at her for a sec and then just get back into what they're talking about. No one acknowledges it. It's
great. Then he kicked me.
I feel like going back to the beginning, this is a line that I've either heard just multiple times online or something, but the of course I told Sean just in the way that he says it.
Oh, of course I told Sean.
Yeah, Corey is the worst at keeping secrets because the boy flips out. He doesn't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, hey, congrats. And he's like, who told you? Every time.
Why do you know?
You're not supposed to know. Like,
you told Sean?
Calm yourself. You don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, the no co-ed roommates thing cracked me up. Only because, did I tell you about at my college how two people that were dating got away with being in the same dorm?
No.
So it was a lesbian couple.
Oh yeah, and that's the way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, we saw that they were kind of like obviously
in your
flirting
Christian
and being
college
with
too. Yeah. Oh yeah, my dude. God.
Yeah, the administration did not know that they were dating, and
of
so when they
not.
Got a room request for roommate transfers, it was like in the same hall as me, just a few doors down, and all of us were like, this is awesome. Are you serious? Because now they're living together, but they're dating, which is also insane because we were like sophomores in college.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. Because like, if you do break up, now you're roommates.
Now you're roommates, and they were roommates.
But yeah, that was the thing. So that cracked me up. But the small laughter from the parents about being married, mm-hmm. not a great sign right at the beginning. And at this point, when like Will actually comes in, like when Eric comes in, I feel like every line or action, and maybe this is just in the last few episodes, but like, or how Will plays him is just meant to break people now at this point. Like,
I think
how
so too.
Will is playing it, because there's no reason that he would come in and do that.
He's but like leaking his audio every time he's in a scene.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense, but I love it at the same time because he's just there to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like how the rest of the scene plays out. Like the fact that Topanga's just very straight up with the fact that they're gonna be together. Mm-hmm. She's very confident about it. Even when Corey is doing the thing where he's like, no, I was the one that made the decision. This is my dumb life. She's like, no, I was the one that asked him. Like, she's
really love that he like immediately was like, let me protect her. Yeah. Yep. In this moment. It's just like, it feels very just like true to a relationship. And also like, they're not her parents. Like, obviously they have a relationship with her because they've been dating for so long, but like she doesn't owe them anything. Right.
Right.
And so for him to be like, please don't yell at my fiance. Like, it's just so cute that he's like, I'm going to protect her. It's me. I did it. I made the decision. Like, yell at me. I'm the married idiot that I like, whatever. And she was like, no, I asked him to marry me.
And to just be so confident in telling them all of it, like every time that she's mentioning it, I just respect the heck out of it.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. I don't think.
It's beautiful. And it's so brave.
Yeah. I will say the parents make great points just in the way that it's like, you haven't really taken care of yourself. How would you expect to know what to do in that type of situation because you haven't been on your own, or just like being off in college where you do have to be on your own. Like, that's still a different level than just living at home and like having your parents taking care of everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's like, as soon as it started getting brought up into the parents and how they did the exact same thing, I was like, ooh, see, now you have no ground to stand on.
Yeah, now we're being hypocrites, aren't we? Interesting. Yes,
so, which I do find interesting because that's, you know, the parents also saying, you know, we did this thing and we want the best for you. But the thing is, it's like, it's also what is best for them at this point.
Right.
So you can't.
It's the decision they're making.
Yeah.
And we also get more into this in a little bit. But I just am like, I can't imagine coming in that hot knowing that you made the exact same decision.
Yeah. And then for each of the couples to then just start arguing because they each start saying things that are wrong.
Yeah.
And basically that, you know, I had to give stuff up. Like, I don't want you to give that. And Amy saying, what did you have to give up?
Yeah, yeah. What and sacrifices did you make?
Sean's line,
they're not like us is crazy. It's so sad.
Which is also so wild because I have loved every minute of Sean and Angela's because it's so different from Corey and Topanga. Exactly. Like, they have their own thing. And for him to just not think about that in that moment, I was like, Sean, oh no.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they're gonna go elope. Ooh.
I love season 6 Sean and Angela.
It's just cute. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. I just love season 6 Angela, honestly. We get so much more Angela because they're in college now, so they're like less at home, right? And I just yummy.
Yay.
It's so good. Okay, so the next scene, we're still in the kitchen. The couples are still arguing and Eric says, hey, if everyone could just calm down, I think it could be the voice of reason here. Everyone laughs at him and continues arguing. He says loudly, I think they should get married. Sean's like, amen. Angela says, stop it, Sean. And Alan says, Eric, sit down, intending it as like a shut up. And Eric says, thank you, Dad. All right, listen, the chances that Corey could find a woman like Topanga are like 1 in a million. Sean agrees, there's nobody better. Angela relents, well, that's true. And Amy says, well, we all love Topanga. That's not the issue. Eric says, yes, but see, in a few years, she's going to dry up, gonna get all wrinkly. Might as well grab her while she's still smooth. Am I right there, Dad? Alan just says, you're an imbecile. And Eric just laughs. Alan laughs back at him. And then Morgan says, have any of you guys noticed that Corey and Topanga aren't here? Everyone looks at the open door, and that is the end of the scene.
Okay, so first off, when Eric is the voice of reason, you know there might be a problem. Knowing Eric now.
Yes.
If it was a few seasons ago.
Yes.
I would have been all for it. But when he says even, like, being the voice of reason and kind of has a point for a minute,
and then,
I was like, oh, but then they ruin it.
Exactly. Immediately ruin it.
Which I don't understand.
It's weird to
and
make Eric.
And it was gross. It was like a gross.
It's weird to make him stupid and gross. Like, he doesn't have to also be a misogynist. And that's it's like a weird choice.
And we already know that Eric feels a certain way about women, so it's just weird to double down on it, especially now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need that. It Again, sucks. This is the same Eric that was almost about to have a kid with another girl.
He was going to be a stepdad. Yeah, man. They just, like, don't know what to do with him in 6 and 7. They, like, really don't know what to do with him. And so they just kind of make him a stupid asshole. It sucks. And, like, sometimes it's funny. Like, there are moments where it's fun and it's funny and he does things that I'm like, that is a very good bit and I enjoyed it. But also,
just, like, knowing the potential, I think is what makes it worse.
Yeah.
Because, and Will is also just a great actor. So it's really stressful.
I mean, he's chomping it up. Like, everything he's doing is, like, script as written, you know?
Because, and, like, also what else making would you it better. Do, though?
Right. Like, it's fun in ways because we get to see Will be this, like, very comedic and physical actor, and that's really impressive. But the writing for him just makes me so sad sometimes because I'm like, why?
And it's sad because you get these big moments out of all the other characters.
Exactly.
But why is he getting thrown to the side?
I don't know,
it's so sad.
Man. Yeah. Ugh. It's a bummer for sure. Okay, so the next scene, we are in the car. Corey and Topanga are driving. She says, are you positive you want to do this? And he says, we're in the car, aren't we? She says, yeah, I know, but you're not just doing this because your parents are against it. He says, Topanga, I told you, it's my life. I decide what I want to do with it. She says, what happens when you get to college and see everybody meeting each other and dating and having fun? Are you going to wish you could be doing the same thing? He says, it didn't faze me in high school. Why should it faze me now? They give each other a look and she says, Corey, you had your heart She says, Corey, you had your heart set on this big romantic wedding. And he says, listen, Topanga, I can't think of anything more romantic than sneaking off to a quiet little wedding chapel in the country. I want to marry you. That's what I have my heart set on. I do. She smiles at him and then looks out the window. Then why did you pass the exit? He says, stop hounding me. And that's the end of the scene.
That's cute. Yeah. Yeah, he wants to marry Topanga, and that is that. I do think it's interesting for her to start bringing up, obviously they've talked about like what a wedding between them would look like or something, yeah. But the fact that she's bringing that up again, like, are you sure that you don't want that? Mm-hmm. Because you've talked about it before, I think is nice. Yeah, I don't know. He's like, he's so set on it that he's like, we're going to do this because yeah. I want to do this. And I'm not having anybody else tell me that
we can't
or, you know, shouldn't or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I think is also commendable. I don't know.
I feel like this is exactly how I would be.
Yeah.
If I were in this situation, just because of how my brain works.
Like, you being Topanga or you being Corey?
I'd be Corey. I'd be like, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'd do what I want. We'd be going to get married out of spite.
I was going to say I would be Topanga in the case of like, are you sure you want to keep doing this?
And that's why we're so well balanced.
It's called balance.
I think now we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more of his answer after this.
Hello, everybody. It's Sid. Welcome to The Midroll, the spot where we do announcements, featured ads, and anything else that we want to talk about. First things first, if you like our show and any of the others on the network, please consider backing us at patreon.com/thescavengersnetwork. For just $2 a month, you can get access to hours and hours of bonus content, and every donation helps support us and the network. I also mentioned this at the end of the episode, but moving forward for nostalgia, we are, unfortunately, going to be moving back to Twitter. And the first question is coming up this week. So once this episode is posted, you can go check out our Twitter account and participate again that way if you would like to. If you would like to, you know, still send us an audio submission, we would still love to hear about it, still include it in the episode. You still have every right to do that, but we're also just moving back to Twitter as well. All right, let's dive right back into it. You got water nearby. If not, you should go get some. And while you're at it, get yourself a snack because you deserve it. Thanks for listening. Let's get back to the episode.
And we're back in the Matthews kitchen. The group seems to be mid-convo. Amy saying, yeah, well, we said some pretty awful things. Alan rebuts, no, we just told them the truth. They probably just went to think things over. Eric says, I bet they eloped. Alan says, without our permission, Corey? I don't think so. Sean's like, I know him. If he's forced to choose between anything and Topanga, it's no contest. Amy says, remember when we told your father we were going to get married? What did we do? Alan says, well, that was different. I mean, he was stubborn, totally set against it, wouldn't listen to anything we had to... Oh, boy. Eric says, guys, can I be the voice of reason here again? Everyone laughs, and he laughs with them, saying, that's great. Maybe you are responsible. In fact, I know you are. What with the bickering and the lecturing and the yelling? Amy says, okay, Eric. Eric finishes, we have to support Corey and Topanga and accept this marriage. We can't just push them out of our lives like we push them to elope. They love each other, and they belong together, just like me and Rachel. Everyone is confused at this last bit, and Alan asks, who's Rachel? Eric says, she's my beautiful new roommate, Angel. She's back in the apartment right now with Jack. Oh, no. Wait, what if they hit it off and she cheats on me? That tramp, man. Gotta get back and start slapping people around. He leaves, and Alan runs over to the door, closes, and locks it. Amy says, it is our fault. We drove them to it. And that is the end of the scene. Kind of disjointed, but also.
Yeah. And what's funny is that Eric, again, makes good points. And then
for 2 seconds, and then they have to make it a bit at the end. Yeah.
Which, like, at first it's funny when he's like, me with Rachel, you know, so out there. She literally just moved in. They have nothing together. But for him to then say that he's got to go and slap them around a bit. I was like, why?
Why?
What are we doing?
Why? Calling her a tramp sucks.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I think the one interesting note here in the scene that I noticed is Sean knowing Corey better than his parents at that moment is not lost on me.
Yeah. I mean, it feels very true to life, though, like, especially as a teenager. I mean, even if you have a good relationship with your parents, like, you're never going to be always, well, I don't know. I can't really speak from good experience. My parents knew nothing about me as a child.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I feel like even if you have a good relationship, you're not going to have the same sort of relationship with your parents that you do with your best friend.
Yeah. I think what's interesting to me about that is Corey has gone to his parents or like talked to them about Topanga in his relationship a lot.
Certainly.
And so the fact that it's in that case where Sean is like, I know him, like if it's Topanga against anybody, like they've helped him in certain situations or, you know, tried to keep him away from her. So the fact that it's like, oh, they wouldn't do that. It's like, no, he's going to choose Topanga. Like,
yeah.
you should know this by now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess that's the piece of it that gets me. But Eric actually being serious about, you kind of drove them to do it. You can't expect it to be any different. It's just very good. And I liked what he said before he had to go off and ruin it again. Again, the fact that the parents have done the exact same thing cracks me up. Because like, you never want your kids, I don't have kids, I feel you would never want your kids to just like make mistakes or do anything like that. But it, like, it's not even a mistake. It's just like they're also living and you also lived. It's hard to do that when you're an adult at this point and can like look back on it differently. But it's like you were also a kid once. You should understand more than anybody. Like,
yeah, it's so weird to be an adult and also not feel like an adult.
Yeah.
Which I say to say, like, I look back on instances in which I've like tried to tell my sisters something and be like, you just don't, you're so young, like you have so much time, like you don't, or my cousins even, like my younger cousins, to just be like, you don't know yet, like it's gonna be blah blah blah, whatever. And like also to be thinking about like how I felt in my early 20s.
Yeah.
To just be like, but you don't know. You don't know anything. You don't know me. Like, you know, just like that feeling of just like, and I think about that a lot in the context of your parents are always trying to do, and just people older than you that care about you, right? Are always trying to like help you make the right decision because they care. And it feels very much like they are disconnected from you because they're so much older than you, because they're your parents, because of this, because of that.
Yep.
And so it's just hard to like really get past that like disconnect, I think, in a lot of instances, especially when it's come at with this much aggression.
Yeah.
Because you're automatically going to buck against like, but you don't know, like it's my choice, I'm an adult, like all of that stuff, especially at that age.
I think it's interesting too, because there have been times when Alan and Amy can talk with their kids about things and like talk it through with them as opposed to getting really harsh at them. And this is obviously like not one of those cases. And so it is interesting where Eric is like, no, you definitely drove them to do that because you were talking about them in that way, like in the fact that you wouldn't support it or anything, like not gonna be good. But yeah, take a different approach.
It's really a lot of time it is about approach, right? Because if they had come at it, I think, with an angle of like, do you understand everything this entails, without like not infantilizing, but just like invalidating. That's the word I'm looking for. Like invalidating the way that they feel and being like, you can't even do this, you can't do that, you're not ready for marriage. Like all of that, I think, is what pushed them in the direction of like, no, we're going to do this because we know ourselves and we know our relationship.
And because they have been in that exact same situation that they could tell them, you know, you're going to have to figure out like how to pay for things.
Here's all the things I wish I knew.
Yeah. Like, there's way different ways that they could have gone about it.
Fully.
So that's on them.
Yeah.
Even though they're such a great relationship and parents and everything, but it's like sometimes even you screw up.
I think a lot about like getting married that young was such a thing in like the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, for a lot of reasons. But for them to like have been married so long and still like also be so clearly in love, and to not like think about how they are similar to Corey and Topanga in those ways, and like not really think about it from their perspective, and just thinking about it from like the fear perspective of like, oh my God, like what about all of these things that they don't even know that they're thinking about? Like, I have to talk them out of this.
Well, and the fact that they get to the point where Amy even says to the end, do you remember like how our parents were?
Yep.
And where Alan finally pieces that together, just too little too late of, you know, exact same situation and look what we did. So, whoops.
Okay, next scene. We are at what we find out is a small, like, wedding chapel. Corey and Topanga knock on a door. It opens, and he says, "Judge Bemis, I'm Corey Matthews. We talked on the phone." He welcomes him in and says, "And this must be the bride with the nutty name." She says, "Topanga," and shakes his, and he shakes her hand. "Topanga, that's silly. This is my wife, Pafufta." Which is nothing. Topanga's at least a canyon. Pafufta's just sounds. That's nothing. The wife says, "Our one friend calls me Foofy. How do you do?" Our one friend. Bemis says, "She'll be your witness." And Foofy goes, "Oh, they're so young, Henry," and starts to get emotional. Judge Bemis says, "Pay her no mind. We've been marrying folks for 36 years, and she bawls like a baby every time." Then to her, "Stop it." Topanga thanks them for doing this at such a late hour. And he says, "Nonsense. This is what we do. Besides, we can't be choosy. Everybody wants a big wedding these days. Nobody wants to elope no more." Topanga says, "Well, I do. Right, Corey?" Corey is looking stressed, and she says, "Corey, say I do." And he looks at her, "Already?" And that's the end of the scene.
So what's that? It looks like Corey's having second thoughts a little bit. Oh,
he's scared.
Just a little scared boy.
He's a little scared of getting married.
My- Ew, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
That was such bad audio for 15 seconds.
It took over my body and I just had to say it, Sid. It just came out of me. Wow. That's crazy. Anyway, I'm so sorry.
It's like just becoming a little sleeper agent. Like, just goes off.
Oh my God.
Yeah, my one thing that I got with this, it's cute that they're going up to this wedding chapel. Where did they find this place?
Right.
Because they don't, I mean, they seemingly have phones, at least some sort of cell phone.
Yeah.
But did they have a phone book? They don't have easy access to the internet.
Maybe they dialed zero for
information.
Like the operator. Yeah, for information.
Maybe. Just give me wedding chapel, please.
And where did they drive to? They said a little wedding chapel in the country. And then I think
they
this
say
is probably
like,
next
in the next
episode.
Scene or something that they go north or
yeah.
Forgot. There's, that's not this episode.
Yeah. In the next episode, there's like they reference 1,000 miles, but I don't know if that's an exaggeration.
That's insane. If it's
I don't think it's actually 1,000 miles because I don't think they could have done that in the time that they are doing things. So I'm just kind of like, where did they go? It's unclear. It's not stated. It's a small wedding chapel somewhere in the country of Pennsylvania. Furthermore, they wouldn't.
The other thing that I would just like to say is this guy, the judge, makes it a point to say, like, everyone wants big weddings. Like, no one wants to elope anymore. I'm happy to report that I have a ton of friends who have just started eloping out of nowhere.
Really?
Yeah, as opposed to having weddings because... why would they want to pay for all that when they could just live?
Fun fact.
Needing money.
One of my Instagram friends just eloped today.
Look at that.
That's so
funny.
I
had a friend that was dating this guy, and I love her. And she all of a sudden, just one day, I saw a ring on her finger. And I was like, Linz, are you engaged or are you married? And then like the next post that she had was like, me and my husband. I was like, fuck yeah. Just did it so quietly. Like, she didn't tell anybody. They just eloped. And I was like, that's awesome. Go you.
I love the idea of eloping, but I personally like to be the center of attention too much.
I do need a wedding eventually.
Yeah.
I know that about me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And me too.
And also, I would like to just party with my friends.
Yeah.
I know that's like the whole point of it. And like celebrating, but...
I like the traditions of wedding receptions, too.
Yes. I think that they're fun. And I am going to so many this year. So, like, all my friends, thank you for having weddings.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Because I do like to go to them. Anyway, yeah, I think weddings are still cool. But I understand that they are expensive as hell. And I'm so sorry about that. Screw the wedding industry as well.
That's a big scam.
Ooh, baby.
There's got to be a way to do it cheaply.
Can we...
There's like things
just
that I think about
have
that
things
I'm like,
cheap again.
Truly. Like, I feel like flowers at a wedding are so expensive.
They are.
And like, do I need flowers? Do I really need to hold a thing? Because let me tell you something. The wedding that I was in last year, my friend, I was holding her bouquet the entire ceremony.
So like you didn't need flowers.
I didn't need flowers and she didn't need flowers, clearly, because I was holding her flowers. So I was holding 2 flowers and her bouquet was probably like a solid 4 pounds. Like it was so heavy.
And you have to hold it.
And I have to hold both of them. So I'm just wondering, anyway, like things like that. I'm like, that's a scam. Like, why do I need flowers? Why does anyone need flowers?
I think one of my favorite things, I had two weddings. No, I had one of my friend's weddings from college, like the year that we graduated. It was in the summer, and she did everything. She had a huge wedding, but she did everything a little bit rustic in the way that she wasn't paying a ton for like bouquets of flowers or a bunch of catering. Like they were just doing stuff. Like she bought a bunch of just regular flowers and we cut the stems off and we just all made our own bouquets. And I thought that was the most fun activity because all of the bridesmaids got to sit together and just actually and make what our bouquet was going to be like. And it was so much cheaper, like thousands cheaper than getting flowers. So
1,000%.
Do that.
Yeah.
Do some DIY stuff. I know the DIY weddings seem like a big hassle as well, but like, God, they're fun.
Yeah. I feel like there's definitely things you can do. Some of this has to be cut. I feel like there's definitely things you can do to make a wedding cheaper. But I feel like weddings don't have to cut. Like my cousin got married. She's now divorced. But my cousin got married and her wedding was like very DIY. But it was also so fun and so cute. Yeah. Like it was also very rustic. It was like out in the like forest. It was really fun and cute, and you know, I like there are ways to do it without it being a salary. And the next scene, we are back at the apartment. Jack and Rachel are talking. He says, Sean and I are very different people, but we're brothers and there's really nothing we wouldn't do for each other. Then we beat each other up. She agrees, yeah, me and my sister are the same way. He's like, oh, well, if you ever homesick and you want to wrestle. She says, what, me wrestle with you? Oh, God, no, I'm a girl. She then tackles him backwards onto the couch and pins him, but I am one big old girl. Eric then walks in and screams, seeing them. Jack says, yeah, that's right. Ah, she's sitting on me, man. Rachel laughs and climbs off Jack. Oh, we were just fooling around. Jack says, no, please don't go. And she continues, so where were you, Eric? He says, oh, well, while you guys were out here having your little sumo fest, I was putting out a crisis on the home front. She asks if everything's okay, and he says, it is now. Corey and Topanga, that's my little brother and Topanga, they ran off to elope. My parents kind of went mental. I calmed everything down. She asks how, and he goes, I said, calm down, you. Yep, then I explained to them that we love both my brother and Topanga, and it would be better if we accepted the marriage rather than push them out of our lives and make them hate our guts, you know? She goes, that is so romantic of you. And Eric laughs bashfully, but that turns into a laugh into Jack's face, like boastfully. And Jack says, she's not sitting on you, is she? Eric says, oh, and here she is, my friend. In here she is, pointing to his head. Rachel's like, you guys know I can hear everything you're saying, right? They both look at her, and she gets up, putting her arms around them. You guys are terrific. You know, being with you makes me realize what a creep my boyfriend really is. Which, what does she mean by that?
I also don't get that because they are being so creepy.
Exactly.
That how badly was her boyfriend in that instance?
Or like, is she saying that you are reminding me of my creep of a boyfriend?
That's true. What is it?
What is the truth, Rachel? Eric says, you deserve better. Jack adds, you deserve the best. Eric's like, I'm saying. And she continues, you know what my problem is? I always feel that I need a man in my life, and I always choose the wrong one. That's why I'm so lucky to have found you two. She lets go of their shoulders and says, God, and it's such a relief knowing we can live together without all that. You know, the boys awkwardly agree, yeah, that is good. That's a relief. She finishes, we're gonna be just like girlfriends, and pats them on the head and heads up to her room. Jack whispers to Eric, girlfriends. And Eric says, wait. If I understand this correctly, girlfriends sleep together, bathe together, and even get to see each other naked. You don't understand that correctly.
They don't. Well, did you expect them to understand women?
Jack's like, no. We already do that. Eric makes a shushing motion, and that is the end of the scene.
I like that end line where Jack just says, we already do that.
Yeah, that's very funny because
just with them?
They're in love. I don't.
They just
know if
they need to be together.
That. They should be together romantically because they are in love.
Rachel wrestling with Jack is something.
It's certainly a thing that happened.
I think another instance of me realizing just how tall she is, though, because oh my God, she's like towering over these two.
She's big.
They are talking about her in such a way that I was so upset.
It like, sucks.
She's right there. And then the fact that she also points it out, I appreciate it.
This doesn't end. And I just don't know how she is like so comfortable living with them, knowing all of this constantly.
I could not be me.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
It sucks.
But I do like that she kind of set that boundary up with them immediately. And obviously they're not cool with it, but I love to see it because she's not going to get with any of them.
Why'd you make that face?
The internet.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, man, the way that they interact with Rachel is just like really sad the whole time, and I don't particularly enjoy any of it. And
that's great.
That's really all I have to say about it. They like really brought her on the show just to like be a gag, like a toy for Jack and Eric to fight over.
Which ain't fun.
It's not fun at all. It's like my least favorite thing that happens. And I like Rachel. I think she's like, there's a lot of stuff with her that is very fun. And yeah. I think that like over the course of the next two seasons, like we get to know her a little bit. And I love that. I just am like, why did we, she's like a whole person, yeah. You know?
And now she's a sexual object for some yeah. reason.
And just like extensively and continually. And it bums me out. That's really all I have to say about that.
Just have Jack and Eric get together. It's okay, writers.
It'd be so fun.
It's so okay.
It would be great. Okay, so the next scene, we are in the Matthews' backyard. The group has gathered, sans Eric, but now including Feeny. And Amy says, oh, it's all my fault. I came down way too hard on them. I made them do it. Alan says, I'm the one who jumped all over them. Corey stood up to me like a man, and I just shot him down. Sean's like, no. Corey came to me for advice, and he wanted me to tell him to wait. I told him to go ahead and get married. Everyone looks at Angela, and she's like, well, hey, don't look at me. I said all the right things. But it didn't matter. Feeny chimes in, you can't tell Corey and Topanga what to do. I've been trying to do that since the first grade. I remember when I tried to separate their desks. She kicked me. He bit me. And some little punk kept saying, leave him alone. They should get married. Sean smiles. I was cute then, huh? Feeny says, precious. But the point is, your advice came from a good place. But Corey and Topanga aren't in the first grade anymore. They made their own decision, and I think they'll be fine because they've been well brought up. Alan gestures to Feeny and adds, and well taught. Sean says, well, I've done the best I can. Amy says, Alan, and goes to sit next to him. I wish we could be at the wedding. Everyone thinking about that is how we end the scene.
The fact that Amy just wants to be at the wedding and is sad actually made me sad at the end of the scene. But yeah, I like that they're just getting to talk about this with all of them. And also Feeny, because obviously...
Feeny's got to be involved.
Feeny's got to say the lesson of the episode. But yeah, I think just you can't tell them what to do. They're just gonna do it mm-hmm. is... pretty much like the biggest thing of this episode. Yeah.
Yeah. I have nothing to add. Final scene. We are back at the wedding chapel and Foofy plays the wedding march as Corey and Topanga walk down the aisle hand in hand. When they get to the judge, he gestures for Foofy to cut and she does. Judge says, we are gathered here today to join in holy matrimony, Corey and Topanga. Foofy cries again, but they're so young, Henry. He says, why don't we just give them back their money? She agrees, that would be a nice gesture. He says, 36 years and she still don't get it. This is what we do for a living. Where was I? Cut to the chase. Do you, Corey, take Topanga to be your wife, to honor and cherish her, richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do you part? Corey says, well, I always have. He looks at her, and I always will. I do. Judge then repeats the same spiel to Topanga, and while he's saying everything, her face goes from happy to something like terrified, and then she doesn't answer. Corey looks down at her expectantly, and we get a to be continued, and that is the end of the episode, proper and in total. No end credits.
A twist. Topanga.
Topanga's getting cold feet.
Yeah, it's really funny because at the beginning of the scene, I thought, oh my God, they're really doing it. That's my note. And then they didn't. But yeah, I really like the way that Corey did say yes. I thought it was really sweet. I think in the ways that he can be emotionally immature, there are some things with their relationship that I think that he nails to a T. Mm-hmm. And he's very sweet and caring. And just like a loving boyfriend. It's so funny the contrasting episodes of not being a very supportive boyfriend and like caring, and then it's like, and then extremely like he's ideal boyfriend situation.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I think
it's not even like not being supportive, but I just keep going back to the episode that he's just so negative.
Yeah, he was like genuinely very terrible to everyone around him. And I think that is, I get, we were not pulling punches in how we talked about Corey in that episode. So I want to be very clear. But like, I understand like that lashing out when everything around you is changing and you feel like you can't control anything. Yes. All that said, I wish she had just like a sliver of an apology at the end.
Yes.
Because everybody just forgot about it. And so all that said, like, the overarching thing of the show is like Corey and Topanga are in love. So, yes. You know, we have to like get to that at the end of like, yeah, obviously he's overall a very good boyfriend. They've been together for their entire lives or whatever. But for sure, it is weird to like have the like contrast between how he was acting then and how he's acting now.
And again, be very different if I had 6 months in between the like two seasons where I would have immediately forgotten about everything that had just happened, but yeah. I'm just watching it consecutive weeks. So it's a little bit different, but yeah, I mean, he is like at the time also like being in high school, just boyfriend goals. That's what yeah. you want when you think about a relationship. It's like, yeah, that's I would like a little security and feeling loved and like cared about and stuff. Like that's literally great. Anyway, to be continued.
To be continued, man. And you know what isn't to be continued? This episode, because we're at the end. What was the lesson, Sid?
Well, you can tell people what you think they should do all you want, but it is ultimately up to them to decide what they do want to do. And sometimes it's going to be conflicting with your own thoughts or opinions on things. And that's okay, because it's not your life to live.
Beautiful.
How about that?
I love that. This was a great lesson.
Thanks. This episode was great.
It's fun, man. Oh, season 6. I've been saying it since the beginning, and I'm so excited we're finally here. I watched the second episode today after I finished prep, and I was like, man.
I did also watch the second episode.
Oh, the second episode has one of my favorite fights in the history of the show.
Hell yeah.
I can't wait to talk about it.
I feel like I know what one, but we'll see.
Yeah. There's one like very famous one that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yay. Hey, welcome to the end of the episode. We're here.
We're here. We're doing it.
We're doing it.
Anyway, if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on, I'm just going to say, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at The Lost Years Pod. We've never kept up with Blue Sky, have we?
Certainly not.
I forgot that app really existed because I still use Twitter and it's annoying.
The problem is I hate Twitter, okay?
I know,
and
I hate it.
I'm not happy there and I don't want it, but Blue Sky is not saturated enough.
And it's confusing.
I you can't like, it doesn't have the same like aspect of connection that Twitter currently had, not currently, but like has built in.
Yeah.
And if Twitter would just like die off officially and be terrible and shut down and I could just be done with it, I as a society, I think we would all be happier. But unfortunately, it won't. And so we ride the burning train into the canyon of nothingness.
Yeah. Man, this episode's been fun.
It's so depressing.
Yeah, we share there when episodes drop and any updates that we have. And just going to get back into doing what you're nostalgic for, because why the heck not? I recently saw Shrek 2 in theaters, and I'm curious that if you had the chance with all of the movies that are coming back, what movie would you want to see on the big screen again? Because that was the best day of my life.
Sid, if Sid is one thing, it's a Shrek 2 lover.
Because it's so good. I went with my friend and we were both sitting there before the movie at the bar just talking about how excited we were to go see it. You know how fun that is? And I think would be proud of me that even though I love this movie so much, they were handing out Shrek 2 posters after the movie for some reason, and I did not take one because I don't know what to do with it.
You should have taken a Shrek 2 poster.
I can't even hang up any of my posters that I have now. Why would I just take a Shrek 2 promotional movie poster?
Listen, I have so many posters and pieces of art in my home that currently remain unhung, and that is just how life is sometimes, but I still have them and I pull them out and I look at them and I smile even though they're not hanging on my walls.
The saddest thing is having so many posters that I do want to hang, but frames are so expensive that frames there's just so no expensive. Way. And I don't just want to tack things up. I did it with these, yeah. but I do not want to just tack them up because I don't want to ruin them when I try yeah. to pull them off. And so it sucks because everything suck. Is also expensive.
I'm about to go to C2E2 this weekend, and I again have placed... Well, here's the thing. I can spend more money than I did last year because my ticket this year was free. So do have... $130 that I can spend on art and things, but I am limiting myself like I did last year because I already have all this art that I don't have hanging anywhere that I want to hang, that I can't hang because I keep buying more art.
Because art is really cool and art it's the so things cool, that are getting fun. Me through this weird life that we're living.
I just want to look at pretty things in my capitalist hellscape. Is that so hard?
I just look at things and I'm like, yes, I like this media property that yeah. is there. I like these boys, the podcast that I support. Yeah. I like Kirby. I just need him.
Anyway, we got off on a tangent here, but you can email us at thelastyearspod@gmail.com. Tell us what movie that you wish you could re-see in theaters. I know what mine is.
There we go.
So we'll talk about that next week. We'll read your email on the show. You can rate us and write a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Overcast and all the places. And subscribe as well. I don't think you can write reviews on Overcast. I don't know why I said Overcast. But you can subscribe on Overcast and wherever else you get podcasts because it helps us out and helps people find the show. And it will frame all of the art in my home if you write a review.
It will.
Your review will frame my art and then I can hang it. So think about it. Think about all my unhung art.
If you think about it really hard.
Think about it real hard.
It'll just automatically hang up on taste.
No. You have to think about doing the review really hard and then do the review, and that is what will hang my art. I want to be so clear, okay?
Can you imagine you're just sitting and all of a sudden the art
It levitates and a frame appears around it, and then it levitates again onto my wall and hangs itself. That's my dream.
You know, that happens in Shrek 2.
There's no way that's true.
The fairy godmother. I'm just saying a lot of things just move around in Shrek 2 because she wills them to be. So
right.
It all comes back.
Have you ever been to Shrek Fest?
No.
I think we should do that. I feel like you'd be really happy
there. I've seen it online
there.
And I have debated it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I have a couple of friends who go to Shrek Fest every year. I think it's in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's somewhere around there.
I think we should go. You really love Shrek, Sid.
Shrek, the first one's great. Shrek 2, phenomenal. Shrek 3, we forget about it. Shrek 4, also great. Yeah. Picked it back up. That's technically the third one in my mind because Shrek the third should not exist.
Right.
I gotta go to bed. We're recording this at like 9:10 p.m.
It's your turn to talk.
Yeah.
We should go to Shrek Fest though.
Thank you to the Scavengers Network for having us on the network. You can check out other cool shows there like Wet Hot American Moon Juice and Myth Takes on www.scavengersnetwork.com.
If you want to find me on the internet, I'm everywhere at It's Takro. No, I'm everywhere at Takro.
Oh,
It's Takro is my Twitch. I don't know why I've started doing that. It's Takro, but it's just at Takro. And then if you want to find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/It's Takro. We just had a lovely little Taylor Swift stream. And by lovely, I mean boring.
It's so boring.
The music was boring. The stream itself was fun. It was fun to talk about the music. And also, go check me out on TikTok. I made a TikTok, and I worked really hard on it, and it flopped. So if you could go like that for me, I would really appreciate it. Because I think TikTok blocked it or something. Like, I got shadow banned for no reason. It's done worse than any of my other TikToks I've ever made.
Whoa.
And you none of them have done super well.
You should just post it again.
I'm planning on it.
Like, don't even delete the last one. Just post it again.
I'm just going to repost it. I think I might... take the link that says twitch.tv/itstakro off of the like screen. The sad part is all the captions. I'm not going to redo the captions.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Which bums me out because I did lots of little fun things with them, but it takes too much time. So
yeah,
I just won't be doing that. But
alas, alack.
Yeah, living in the real world. That's me. That's where you can find me.
You can find me everywhere on the internet at Sudsley. I'm probably talking about Shrek.
Probably.
I should make a TikTok about how great that movie is.
I think you should. And I would love to see who engages with it. And we're going to make plans to go to Shrek Fest.
This is a good plan.
I have friends who go and they're like deeply obsessed with it and they have a really nice time. So I can just ask them questions if you want more information on Shrek Fest.
You guys are the best. I was on the phone the other day. Just before going to see Shrek 2, I was on the phone with Chris and I was talking about this, like going to see it. And he's like, yeah, if it's so great, what is it about? And I went, yep. And then I just did the entire plot of Shrek 2 on the phone. And at the end of it, he's like, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, you asked.
That's so funny, Sid.
So yeah. And the entire time I was talking, I didn't try to, but you know that apparently kid?
Mm.
I just started talking like in his same cadence and I don't know what happened, but I kind of blacked out in the middle. And it was one of those like, I know I'm already halfway through. I have committed to this.
We
I
have to finish. See it through. you have to finish telling him the entire plot of Shrek on the phone.
And it
Shrek
worked. Two.
And that's and that's beautiful. And I love that you found someone. That you can tell the entire plot of Shrek 2 to.
Honest, you know what? Yeah.
Okay, we have to end the show now.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening to this chaotic back half of the episode. Love you so much. Until next time.
You're Tay.
You're Sid.
Just like it's always been.
What else do you need to know?
Goodbye, fam.
Bye, fam.
Go to therapy.
The Scavengers Network.
Creator driven, community focused, treasured content.
Join us for Don't Feed the Plants, a limited series podcast discussing the 1986 movie musical Little Shop of Horrors, one song at a time, with media scholars, performers, and fans. So look out, look out, look out for Don't Feed the Plants. Little Shop of-